All right, guys, big episode of the Northeast Podcast. We talk about the roast of Tom Brady. Is the boys past its best? Fall Guy is a wreck. And we talk Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse of appetizers. Here we go. And here we go, Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim. How's it going?
Well, still coming off that high of the sportscast,
yeah, sportscast,
so feeling great.
Was great. Talked a lot of Wolves.
Of course.
I know this isn't the time to talk about this because this is a sports talk, but we want people to go check that episode out.
Of course.
I hate Wolves back.
Oh, you don't think that's a cool phrase? Because like they've never been there?
No, they've never been anything. They've had one good year ever. It's not like they're back. They've never they've arrived. Wolves here.
Wolves born.
Yeah. Wolves are here is more like.
Right. They finally fucking got here.
Yeah.
It's like the Oregon Trail for them. It took a long time.
They are not back. Like, we have never experienced this, really. Like,
that's true.
They when they could have been good, they signed an illegal contract and got fined $3.5 million and lost 4 first-round picks.
And were horrible for 3-4 years out of Kevin Durant's prime.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett. Fuck.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks. Isn't the sportscast. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Who cares? We're talking TV and entertainment here.
Hell yeah.
But go back and check out that episode. It was really good. Also, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Northeast Podcast and subscribe anywhere that you guys get your favorite podcast from and get the Northeast Podcast directly to your phone or your device each and every week for free.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. All right, what are we drinking here?
Only the beer of the summer.
The beer of the summer.
Coors Light.
Coors Light. Always the beer of the summer.
Delicious.
There's no time, like,
there's no limit to how many you can drink.
Infinity you can drink. And also, like, it's the beer that I want. It's really the beverage I want after, like, mowing the lawn.
Oh my God. If it's cold, you know, even if it's not cold, it's still fine. And, like, talk about a beer that's still drinkable when it's, like, starting to get warm.
Yeah.
It's got to be this one. But when it's freaking crispy cold right off the lawnmower. That's nice. That's a good day.
It is. That's a great day. All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Do we care? First thing up, we got a new, better, improved Acolyte trailer.
I thought it was much improved. I thought it looked better. I thought that it seemed darker and more adult. I thought that, you know, the characters, you know, it didn't exactly know where everybody was going to match up all of a sudden. So I thought it looked really, really interesting.
I'm really excited about this. I think that, like, I would say that overall, Star Wars has been a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Star Wars isn't great or it hasn't made a bajillion dollars and everyone knows about it and it's May the Fourth be with you. You know, like, it's everywhere in culture.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying,
culturally, huge impact. But
I think
could we have had better products come out of it? For sure.
I just think that, like, they didn't even really start exploring something that didn't have to do with the exact same characters until, like, recently.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think, like, the sky's the limit. I think they can go in any direction. They can write all kinds of new stuff. There is a bunch of source material that's been written.
And
over
you've
decades.
Read quite a bit of it.
I read some of it.
Some of it, yeah.
And I think some of that's really good. I think some of the new characters are really good. I think their ability to loosely tie them into the universe, but kind of tell these new stories, is really fun.
Yes.
And I think, like, this here with the Acolyte is going to be a story seems to be distant past.
Yeah, distant past, like, you know, thousands of Jedi at this time, the galaxy, or what is it, the Galactic Republic or whatever is doing great, you know, but seeds of shit is stewing. So
I'm excited about this.
I am too.
I think it's going to be really cool. And I think that...
I think it'll be a cool mystery. And I think that we'll get some actual, like, shocking moments. You know, maybe it's not going to be Luke, I'm your father. But I think there will be moments like that.
So here's what I would say. I would say that there's a lot of complaints about the shows that have been on Disney Plus. And I think when you go to the Marvel shows, they've been pretty bad.
Yeah.
I would say even the good ones have been disappointing.
For Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been very little good, a lot of bad, a lot of just kind of,
I mean,
of
Loki,
like,
season one was good and we were excited.
WandaVision
and then it got
was kind of good.
WandaVision was, like, was pretty, half yeah. half of it was good.
And it's just like, it's just everything has been kind of a disappointment there. I think Star Wars, I feel like people kind of lump them together. I think the Star Wars stuff on Disney Plus has been pretty good.
Overall?
I think overall. I'm not saying that everything has been perfect. Like, I think Boba Fett.
Book of Boba was bad. Horrible. I think I was actually shocked.
Obi-Wan was disappointing, but average maybe.
It's pretty bad.
It was maybe above or maybe slightly below average, but it was much better than Book of Boba.
Right.
I thought Ahsoka was a little cheesy, but overall I thought it was good.
It was entertaining. I liked it. It had cool big moments.
And then I think Andor and Mandalorian have been huge successes.
Absolutely. Really, like Andor season one is probably my favorite out of all of it, but I get that, you know, that's a show for adults, you know, like, of course I'm gonna like it a little bit more. And I think Mando struck the chord where, like, it's really entertaining for everybody. So yeah, they've gotten a couple things right for sure.
Yeah, so I think that this show, I have a lot more faith in them making these Star Wars shows. And yeah, they feel
And the more removed it is from the story, maybe the more excited I am. Like, I know that you were super psyched about Ahsoka because that's you watched a lot of that.
Yes.
You're a Dave Filoniite. I get it.
Yep.
But for me, I'm really not. So starting fresh with new characters, I think is really cool.
Yeah. I think that, like, because they've wrapped up this whole, like, Skywalker saga, you know, with their 9 movies of kind of the same story, I think that now they have kind of decided they're going to have to go in different directions. And I think that feels so refreshing because I think, like, people love the universe. They love the lightsabers. They love the lore. They love some of these fringe characters.
The look is always iconic. You know, even in this Acolyte, right? It's, dude, you got lightsabers. You got all type of, I don't know. There was some really cool imagery in that. Like the Night Sisters and stuff might be coming through. So I don't know. It's all going to be cool, but it's got a signature look, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I really do care about this. I think this is one of the shows of the summer I'm really excited about.
Okay, me too. And it's not that far away. It's less than a month.
We got our first boys trailer for the most recent season as well.
Yeah. Are you still into this?
I mean,
I
watched all of it.
Yeah. I was pretty bummed about this last season. Once they give the main non-superhero powers. Who's fighting superheroes. It gets, like, it was really interesting to be like, dude, how the fuck are these scrappy guys going to take down these supes?
Yeah.
And moved away from that, you know? Like, and then, you know, people were watching this trailer. It's like, dude, did you see this trailer? It's going to be batshit crazy. I'm like, that's all it is now, though.
It's like
a giant exploding penis, and I'm sure that will actually be cool. Like, that'll be funny.
But
I don't care about the characters anymore.
No.
So it just, these things don't pay off like they used to.
And like, everyone, remember how everyone was so excited about the Herogasm or whatever?
That was lame.
It was super dumb. Yeah. And like, I'm kind of like, their one big gross out moment of the season, every season now, it doesn't really work for me.
Right.
I'm never like, oh, that was amazing. He blew up his penis and like his whole body exploded. Like, I didn't really like that. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I can't think of one character I like.
That's bad.
And I think that's a huge issue. Like, Butcher is not, he's an anti-hero, but he's not likable.
He's not. And in fact, he's gotten less likable and less kind of like, well, at least he's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
He kind of just seems like a dirtball.
Yeah.
And then I guess you're supposed to like Huey, but he's such a wimp and a whiner.
And he's
obsessed,
like,
with like Starlight, who's the worst. She's so annoying.
And he's always doing all the wrong stuff always. And he's just complaining. And Homelander, you're supposed to feel sympathy for him maybe, even though he's really evil, but I don't.
Yeah.
And I just don't like him. And I don't know. I'm just like, oh, and who was the character that they brought in that was like the old superhero?
Yeah, the Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy. That didn't work for me.
Well, he's still going to be in it.
And so
to
me, I just, like, at this point, I can't tell you one character that I am excited about where their story is going.
That's tough.
And so to me, I probably will watch this.
You will.
But I'm very much out of steam on it.
Okay.
Like, way more than at any other point.
Got you. And I agree.
Okay, we also got our first look at the new Superman.
We did. It was just an image tweeted by James Gunn of David Cornesett.
Don't know who that even is.
He is I don't really know either until he got this role. He sure looks like a Superman. I mean, he looks like a younger Henry Cavill, so they're not really trying to change that. I thought it was a strange image for this first look. you get a full look at the suit that looks kind of baggy, I guess. You get him like putting on his boots casually while like the city's being like destroyed outside. It's very strange. Yeah. I thought it was a weird choice. Not that I don't have faith in James Gunn, but I don't know that I'm going to care about Superman. I just don't know.
I've never cared about Superman. Never. Not when I was a little kid. Never. I've never thought his costume was cool. I never thought the Superman like ripping his shirt open to show the logo was cool. I never thought it was believable that anyone wouldn't just recognize the most famous being on Earth because he took his glasses off. I never understood why he was working.
Right.
Why do you need a fucking job?
Yep.
He could do anything he wanted. If he wanted to work, he could literally create energy by just flying, by carrying something.
Yeah.
And then like power up entire cities.
Oh, I like that.
He could do that if he wanted to work. Like, why is he like writing articles or something?
Yeah, he could definitely get paid for doing a lot of stuff.
He could just be like, I'm gonna defend America.
Yeah.
Pay me a $10 billion
maybe,
a year.
Maybe he wanted to have a semblance of a normal life.
But then they made him into like an evil alien who was like confused in the last try.
Oh God.
So I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. This image doesn't exactly sway me from those type of sentiments.
Yeah, I don't. I can really suspend disbelief for a lot of things, but the ones I have a hard time suspending my disbelief for are Superman, Jurassic Park. Like outside the first movie,
yeah.
I'm like, how is this still a problem?
Right.
Where's the military?
They would just blow all this shit up.
And then same with Godzilla and King Kong.
Can't get behind that.
I'm like,
we would know about these things, dude.
I'm like, dude, we would just drone strike them.
Yeah.
We would drone strike them. Oh, he can't be hurt by drones. He's actually drone proof. Okay. Okay.
Okay, I'm tuning out.
He's good sometimes, but he's evil other times, yeah, depending on the movie.
But drones, never going to work on him.
Giant nukes. Missiles. Nope, he's...
It'll make him angry, though.
Yeah, nukes just make him more powerful. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, bullets do too, I bet. Everything just makes him more powerful. All
hey, right. Here's some good news, though, on the James Gunn front.
Yeah.
He is confirmed that they're making Peacemaker 2. They're starting on it. It's going to happen. They're on set. So
Peacemaker was so fun.
Peacemaker will be good.
It was such a fun show.
We love John Cena.
I do.
Maybe you could do the horns again from the sports podcast. You did. Your horn impression was incredible.
It was pretty good. It was. I'll save that for when Peacemaker gets announced.
Okay, you will then?
Yeah. I'll hit it then.
Can't wait.
I believe in James Gunn.
Yes.
My one thing with James Gunn is that I think he really, really, really loves making like projects about weird things that are like not that popular and making them into something cool. And he's really good at it. But it makes me kind of wonder why we don't ever get him just making like Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Or like him making Batman.
Well, he came up as kind of a counterculture guy. Like
I
kind of want to
see him
Slither
do
weird
the,
movies
the and, really good stuff that we...
Well, that's what... I mean, Superman, you may not like it, but he is definitely one of the biggest IPs ever.
I get it. This
is his chance to do that. So,
yeah,
dude, if he can make you like Superman, then he's really coming up. Like, that's a massive... And he might. You might like this dude. You don't know.
Okay, I do have a question for you.
Wow.
You know a lot about directors. Which director, if you had to pick someone off the top of your head, that is at least mildly realistic, okay? Yeah. So you can't be like Chris Nolan, because I don't think he would do this.
Okay.
Which director would you like to see make the first few X-Men movies?
That's a good question. Can we get Denis? Can he do that after Dune?
I wish he would.
I mean, he does big IP, and he's awesome at it. He's done Blade Runner.
He probably has the best look of any director at this point.
Yeah.
Like, his stuff looks better than anybody else's.
That's probably who I'd pick, number one draft pick, to take these things on. Because he does it. He has a crazy mix of, like, epic and serious, but still a lot of entertainment value in there. It's still a blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
That's probably who I'd go with.
Okay. Let's move on to the last thing. I was going to ask you about Harry Potter. Maybe I'll save that for next week on a director. So you should think of your dream Harry Potter director.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be good. But,
what's going on with the new Harry Potter audiobooks?
So we don't usually cover audiobooks, but this is something that I think that, Eric, you're going to be excited about as maybe one of the biggest Harry Potter fans I know.
Okay.
So they have a couple of really good audiobooks out there. There's already two versions, apparently.
Yep.
And, you know, they're already saying, why would they make another one that they're, you know, how could they do better than XYZ actors? Okay. Mm-hmm. They have a huge budget for these.
Okay.
They have 100 actors all doing different lines. So it's not like one guy that's like, Harry, get over here. Then he's like, and then Ginny said, get the fuck over here, Harry. Like, he doesn't, it's not one guy doing.
Yeah.
They like, and there's
I've never thought about that, but it's the most.
They always have ever. Like this old British guy, and he nails the Dumbledore, but he's the same dude that has to do like Ginny Weasley.
Yeah.
So they have all different actors for this. They have sound effects throughout the entire thing.
That's cool.
Like, always background sound effects, music that goes with it. Like the Harry Potter fucking music in it.
Do we know the actors?
They haven't announced them yet. Okay. I don't know if they're going to be, you know, major famous. If they're going to be some of the people coming back.
Probably Ron coming back.
He's got nothing going on.
He ain't doing anything else.
He ain't doing anything else.
He's doing like autograph signings, I bet.
Not him. You, Harry. So I'm excited about this. I think that I am going to listen to all these again and like get to re-experience. Yeah, I've read them plenty of times. I've seen the movies many times, but I've never done any audiobooks on them.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a really, really cool way. I think that, you know, it's going to be a longer experience because they, you know, they're playing a scene out. They're not just like, I mean, I can read a lot, hell of a lot faster than I can listen to somebody act it out.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to commit, man. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I love that. More Potter, the better.
Yeah.
But every time you talk about Harry Potter, you have to like defend your fandom of Harry Potter. People are like, well, what about J.K. Rowling?
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, dude, she sucks.
She wants to be a TERF. She can be a TERF. I'm not a TERF.
She's garbage. We don't like her. I do like Harry Potter and the story of Harry Potter's great.
I like Harry Potter. I don't.
Even
wait,
the character.
I don't like J.K. Rowling. I like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's different.
She hasn't written anything in about 20 years.
I mean, if she comes out with Harry Potter 2, then we can talk about, oh, do we support this? Do we not?
Yeah.
But I like Harry Potter.
I think the only thing she wants to write is like anti-trans
essays. Tweets. Yeah, never. They add up.
That's
to
all she's going to write the rest of her life. So I don't need to listen to her anymore.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to Hot Rex and Not Rex. We watched a lot this week.
We did. Well, I wrapped up a bunch of series that I've been working on. So
let's start
excited.
With the roast of Tom Brady.
Yes, let's do that.
So this was the Netflix roast of Tom Brady.
I'm so glad roasts are back in general.
I...
They did this one live, too, which they usually don't. Like, all the roasts on Comedy Central,
yeah,
I think, were either had, like, hours delay, like it was in the afternoon, yep, and then they'd play it at night. This was truly live TV.
Here's my problem with roasts. I have one issue with them. I don't really like all of their, like, friends and family who aren't comedians getting so much time.
I agree.
I need way, way, way,
they didn't
way,
used
way
used to
less
do
that.
Of that. This was, like... This was too long. So Netflix took it over.
Yeah.
And it's all part of this Netflix is a joke comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big thing. It's all in LA, actually. This was part of that. But they just gave way too many people time.
I need way less of like the people who aren't funny.
Yeah.
And they go on and on and on and on. I started just fast forwarding through the athletes.
Absolutely.
Like, I was like, I can't watch the athletes.
Because,
like,
they wrote a couple of good jokes for him, but they cannot deliver a joke. I mean,
they're not funny to me.
Yeah.
And so I found myself just moving past all of those.
Good.
I was like, oh, Julian Edelman, gone. Don't
not
even watch it. Okay. So, who was the best?
Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser dominated this roast. She absolutely knocked it out of the park. Yeah. Everybody there, even all of the comedians, were like, wow.
Clapping.
They kept saying, like, what a set.
Yeah, seriously. And it doesn't really surprise me. The only thing that does surprise me is that she still got it, you know, because she came up, like, it's actually, like, her and Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
were writing those jokes before, and they were nobodies, right? Yeah. But they would work for Comedy Central to write jokes for the celebrities. You know, De Niro's not going to write his fucking jokes, okay? Yeah. So, like, they would write that, and then they got to the point where they started to give them small amounts of, these are non-famous women at this time, right? Yep. So they would get short sets and fucking slay, to the point where they built their career out of these roasts.
Yeah.
So no surprise that she absolutely was, it felt like she was the most prepared. She wrote the most brilliant jokes, and she just is still likable too.
I think the weirdest thing about roasts to me is that they pick the weirdest people. And maybe it's
to roast or to...
To roast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Tom Brady, we didn't need a roast of Tom Brady. He's not a funny person.
But he's a famous, famous person.
He's famous, but he's just like a robot.
Yeah.
He's like a robot. And they didn't really have much to make fun of him about. So they kept being like, you're really handsome, but you're probably gay.
Yeah.
And also, your wife is sleeping with a jiu-jitsu coach.
Yeah, you did.
And they
get...
just kept saying the same joke over and over and over and over.
Well, that's because it was too long and they had too many people. So they told the different versions of the same, you know, 7 or 8 jokes.
There just wasn't like enough to tease him on because he's lived his life as like this, you know, all-American quarterback who, you know, instead of being in public, he was working hard.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like there wasn't a lot about him to be making fun of.
That's fair. And, you know, when they do an athlete and then they bring up a bunch of other, like, boring athletes up there, there's just, there's only so many CTE jokes you can make.
Yeah.
Whereas in the old ones, you'd be like a big celebrity with a bunch of other big celebrities on the dais. So then the comedians could go up there and make fun of, you know, the main person that's getting roasted, Trump or whomever it is, and then the other people on the dais with jokes that you knew and recognized about them. Like, you know, making fun of just whomever it is up there, and the joke resonates too. Whereas here it's like, dude, it's just a bunch of football players.
So here's my question to you on this. Who is someone you'd love to see get roasted?
Somebody I'd love to see. I mean, I think Will Smith would be really fun at this point.
Yeah.
Just like, because let's see if he can handle a joke about his wife now.
Yeah.
You know, that one would probably be pretty good. I don't know. Who do you got somebody in mind?
No. I was just thinking, like, who would be great?
I think Will Smith would be funny. I think Tom Cruise would be really funny.
I think
they'd be brutal.
I think that the problem is, though, is like they always want to roast someone who's like not that funny themselves.
Right.
And like, I kind of want funny people to get roasted because, like, to me, what's funny about a roast?
Didn't they roast Peyton Manning?
I think so.
They did. And he's actually funny. So yeah, he came up and defended himself and was hilarious.
I like when the people being roasted are funny and they appreciate comedy.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, the good comedians can take a joke about themselves better than, like, the average person.
Yes.
And they understand the craft so much and they respect the other people so much. And so, like, Kevin Hart, I mean, he was a great host of this, by the way.
He got maybe a little too drunk.
Yeah.
But I think he did a good job.
But Kevin Hart, he was good, and he was getting torched by everyone.
Yeah.
And he was laughing his ass off the whole time. And so it's like, I think that having someone kind of funny as the person being roasted, like not necessarily a comedian, but like I would love a roast of Will Ferrell.
Right.
Like that'd be great.
Yeah.
And like it would be hard because everyone likes him so much. But like
I can't think of a single thing to make fun of him about.
But it's just like they could just make fun of how he just looks so sloppy and like, you know, like making fun of someone who's funny's appearance, like all the jokes about how horrible to look at Jeff Ross is.
Yeah.
Is dude, funny, you know? I know. When she was like
who also did a nice job.
Yeah, when Nikki Glaser was like, it's gotta be like calming to know that it wasn't that you were fat that made you look so bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're just killing
it. Lost some weight. Yeah, that's good.
So there you go. Roast of Tom Brady.
And the people that I don't like sucked, and I love that. So, like, just a quick, you know, Segura and Kreisner. I think that Tom Segura is not one of my favorite, but he is a legit actual stand-up artist who does jokes. And then there's Bert Kreisner, who's like, you know, Nikki Glaser's like, Bert, I'm a big fan of your joke.
Yeah.
You know, he really has nothing
He's
to
like,
offer.
And so the shirt is supposed to be on.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's perfect. You know, so those guys kind of bombed.
Are you wrecking the roast of Tom Brady?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it is. It's just too long. And I think that I heard just now that they actually have edited it and they've taken some of the less entertaining parts out because it was like a 3.5 hour event. It was just too long.
I think people need to skip the athletes.
Skip the athletes, skip Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Go just for the comedians. And apparently, I didn't see much of it, but yeah, you can skip the two bears as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, where was Stavros? Is he just not as famous as everybody else?
I think he was in the crowd.
Was he there at least?
Yeah, a lot of comedians were there too, which is cool.
It was a great turnout. So it's a wreck.
Okay. What about, this is me.
Oh.
I went to the movie theater and I saw Fall Guy.
Nice.
Fall Guy is an ode to stuntmen.
Okay.
Directed by a former stuntman.
Right.
It's like a love letter to them and all the work that they do to make the movies that we love great.
And we do like a lot of movies with stunts in them.
Absolutely.
We kind of do.
The press for this has been really good.
I know, right?
All the stuff Gosling's done for this has been great. Okay, so my question to you is, did you like The Nice Guys?
I loved The Nice Guys.
I would say that this is pretty much The Nice Guys too.
No way.
Yes.
It's that entertaining? You thought it was that?
So
is it? What's it rated?
Probably
PG-13.
PG-13? I don't know. Something like that.
Nice Guys is a hard R-rated, so I just didn't know.
It reminded me a lot of The Nice Guys.
Okay.
It's that kind of silly version of Gosling. There's a bunch of action. I liked Aaron Taylor Johnson. I liked, what's the...
Gal?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's John Krasinski's wife.
Oh, Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
You really liked her in this?
I did. I thought she was good.
I haven't liked her in much.
Me either. And okay. I liked her in this. I thought this was a great role for her. This is not a serious movie, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't well done. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It was good. It looked amazing. The story was really stupid, but in the best kind of way.
Okay.
This was like a small blockbustery summer movie that people should see. I thought this was
wasn't a miss. This is not a Gosling miss.
No, I really liked it.
So where does it rank? Nice Guys is still better?
Really? Probably. I liked it about the same as I like Nice Guys.
Wow, damn.
I thought this movie was like a 90.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I really liked
it. So Blade Runner.
It's worse because Blade Runner is a more serious movie.
Very different.
You know,
very different.
Much bigger director.
La La Land.
Probably. I enjoyed this more.
Sure.
La La Land is a much better movie and looks a lot better, and there's a lot more artwork and acting in it. But
not for me, though.
But this movie was I actually think that it has a higher score on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics than the fans.
Oh, interesting.
Or something like that. I should look while we're doing it. But yeah, Fall Guy.
But you gave it a 90. That's strong.
I did. I really enjoyed it. I thought that they did a great job, and
Did it feel like they're trying to make more of these? Like it was like set up? No. Okay, good.
Okay, I was wrong. It's an 82 from the critics and 87 from the fans.
Okay, so you're kind of close right in there. Yeah that's a good score.
I thought this was a really fun movie. I'm not saying it's a for sure like go to the theaters movie. If you have some free time, you'd enjoy going to the theater and getting some popcorn. But
yeah.
If you wait till it comes out on streaming, you'd be happy. No, you'd be excited about that too.
You went for the popcorn and stayed for the movie.
Yeah,
I get it.
And it was really a fun movie.
That's
so
great.
I liked it.
That's exciting.
For sure, rec. And it was just so different than everything else. And I thought like the funny kind of chemistry between Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. It worked very well for me.
It worked because of Gosling then. I'm sorry, but it did, because we've seen Emily Blunt in a lot of stuff without major chemistry. I feel like
this is the honest truth. I will say that I will yell this from the mountaintops. I just really like Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
How can you not? He's so funny. He's so charismatic. And it's like he's a really good actor who seemingly never takes himself too seriously.
Yeah.
And so these roles where he's just kind of playing a silly character in, you know, a movie that could have been someone less than him. And then you get him in it acting in these, feels like a treat.
And I love it. So after this movie, do you think that Deadpool and Wolverine is maybe your most anticipated at this point?
Yeah.
Just because of the press it's getting, and it just seems like it's going to be special. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Okay.
I can't wait to go see that in theaters.
That one is a theaters, for sure.
I think we go.
We go.
I think we go and we get drinks at
St.
Louis Park.
They'll probably
Theater.
Have special themed popcorn buckets for us to enjoy popcorn.
But yeah, I think we do that.
Okay, cool.
Okay. We both finished Baby Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer.
What'd you
think?
A
lot of Scottish. It's a small show.
Small show.
So it's nobody you've heard of.
Nope.
It's kind of like this kind of weird indie passion project from, I guess he's a comedian, mm-hmm. although he seems like he probably excels a little bit more at serious acting than being funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that funny of a show. There's certainly funny moments.
I thought it was scary and emotional and dark.
Yeah.
And like the word I just kept thinking about when I watched the show was brave.
Yeah.
I just kept saying, what a brave show. That's all I kept thinking to myself. Once I realized that the director was also the writer who was writing kind of loosely about who's also the lead actor.
Yeah.
Who was telling probably the deepest, darkest secrets and the most shameful and sad and scary moments of his entire life for all to see on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking, what a brave person to do this. I think it made it so much better. I thought that the girl, I can't think of what her name is in the show, but she...
Martha
did an incredible job.
She was great.
She did an incredible... She was terrifying.
Yeah.
But she was so good in the show. And I just think like watching and feeling his struggles and his mistakes and everything was just, it was really good.
The fact that he's narrating, you know, but he's not this kind of protagonist where it's like, yeah, all these things are happening to him. Boy, do I feel for this guy. It's very much like, damn, he's causing half of his own problems or more.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but he goes through like, I had to go back or I had to go do this, you know. I thought it was a really, really good show. I think it was brave. I think it was a wreck. It's a little heavy. It's certain SA triggers, I guess, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But
it was kind of hard to watch at times.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also digestible because it's, you know, these 25-minute episodes, or maybe they were 35 or something, but it felt quick. I think it was 7.
I would really warn you if you're like listening to our recs and you're like, oh, I've been thinking of watching that show. I would say the sexual violence, the drug use.
It's like a Euphoria, but like...
Yeah,
kind of similar.
Some of that stuff is hard to watch.
Yeah.
So people should just be warned ahead of time on that.
Right. But it does add up to saying some things. I don't think it's just for shock value.
No, it's part
of the story.
It was
part of his story, probably.
I wish I would have known more before I watched it, is my only thing. I kind of was like, I have no idea what this is going to be about.
Yeah, people are talking about it. Yeah.
I was like, I think it's going to be kind of funny.
I thought it was too.
No, it got less funny too.
Yeah.
It continued to get less funny with every episode.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this show is not a funny show.
No.
At all. So,
yeah, but it's a wreck.
It's a wreck for sure. Okay, what about Fallout?
So I finished Fallout. It's a big, expensive show on Prime. Most of it worked. Like, I like three of the characters. A couple of them didn't really work, but we'll see what they do in future seasons. They had, you know, as a big show does, right? And it's trying to world build, so there was a few different through lines they're trying to follow. I would say two out of three of those were pretty interesting. So overall, yeah, I mean, it worked. The pilot was, it was almost like a bait and switch pilot, right? When they do too good of a job on the pilot, and then you're trying to like watch the rest of the show, almost like it's like Walking Dead at that level. It can get tough, but dude, overall, it is a wreck. I think the lead actress is awesome. I think that Walton Goggins is a star. He's so good in this. You actually get a decent amount of him not in the makeup and in the makeup, and he's good in both. The thing that maybe failed me was like, they really seem to be setting up all these big mysteries, of course. How did the world end? And what were the vaults for? And all that stuff. And they answered some of it. And you, as the show went on, I think that you cared less about the answers to those things instead of more. So maybe that didn't work that well. But, you know, it had cool, shocking moments. It was fun. It is a wreck. It's just, I thought it was going to be more like an A, and it ended up being more like a B, I guess. B minus, maybe. Still a wreck, though. I like it. Do you think you'll watch it? You watch one episode?
One episode.
You probably should.
I probably will. Because
they'll come up with another season, and then that one will be like, oh, it's way better, and then you'll just have to watch it anyways.
I think Amazon is the worst streaming service. I do. I'm not
well,
saying
now that they added fucking ads, I'm still pissed about that.
I just don't, I don't know. Like, I don't really know. Is there anything I really liked that was on Amazon?
Mm.
For a while, I really liked The Boys.
You like The Boys.
But I don't really anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. If you watched Invincible, you'd like that, but you won't watch it.
But, you know, it's just overall, I feel like their stuff has been mostly misses.
Yeah. I can't get through Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I think it's bad.
I quit with like two episodes to go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
And yeah. I've thought multiple times, like, I should just finish it. And I'm like, I don't really care.
I don't know. I think overall, they you know, they're happy with how Fallout turned out and the reception, but it could have been better.
Okay.
Could have been more interesting.
All right. I real quickly will wreck this. I watched the miniseries on Netflix called All the Light We Cannot See.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't want to see this.
And it's starring a blind actress?
Yeah, actual blind actress. I liked it.
So she can't
more.
See any light.
I liked it more after I found out that she was actually blind.
Okay.
She wasn't an actress playing someone who was blind.
Right.
It's got
can't
Jonas,
even do that anymore.
Jonas from
No
Dark.
Way. Jonas shows up?
Yeah, who I like a lot.
Is he a good guy in this?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
He's a really good character.
Young Jonas, I assume.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has...
There was like four different Jonases. So.
It has Hugh Laurie, who I don't think I was a fan of, but I think I am more after this.
And he played, everybody knows him as like the doctor, you know, that solved, he had the limp.
Yeah,
whatever
House.
House, Dr. House.
Yeah, he was like a jackass on that.
Jackass, but he's a British guy.
Yeah.
And now, okay.
I liked him on this. And then finally it had Mark Ruffalo, who is a very good actor. But boy, oh boy, was he hard to watch on this.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he a bad guy?
No.
Like a jerk?
No, he was the blind girl's father. He's like a good person, and he was pretty unwatchable. His accent was, I think it might have been the worst accent I've ever heard from an actor.
Oh, my God.
Was it
a French accent? You don't even...
I have no... It was like an ambiguous
generic
accent.
European.
I would say European accent. I feel like he was just like speaking in like a weird accent, and they were just like, let's just
whatever,
go with it.
Dude. He won't listen
this
to us anyways.
This is four episodes, is all.
Okay.
Four episodes. It will only ever be four episodes for all I know. I like this. It was World War II. It's about a small coastal town in France, and they're rebelling against the Nazis. There's some like mysticism in it.
Oh,
that's a little surprising, but
because
it worked.
She's blind or something.
No, there's just like a legend or a lore that's kind of part of it that I kind of enjoyed.
I think I'd say add shit like that.
Yeah.
If I'm writing a screenplay, I'm like, if I'm boring myself, I'm like, let's spice it up.
I thought that this, I had very low expectations.
Okay.
But I did hear from multiple people who I care about that it was very good.
And I think that Laura read the book, right?
I thought it was like her favorite book of all time.
Yeah, and so she enjoyed it.
And I've heard a lot of people love
it. And it's kind of like a historical fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Historical fiction. It was
good. With like a shit ton of research, though.
I would say that this was a wreck. It's four episodes. Pretty serious.
Netflix. Yeah.
I would say it was worth it.
Okay.
I liked it. I thought it was cool, and it was like, I think that I went into it with low expectations, and that was probably the right move.
Nice.
Because then it felt like it very, very, very much exceeded those expectations.
Okay. Well, I'll keep them low then.
You finally finished Curb.
I finally finished Curb. What a ride. I did enjoy the finale. I love how they twisted it. I guess I shouldn't. I mean, it's a kind of like, who cares about spoilers? But, you know, they did a lot of interesting callbacks, not only to the Curb Your Enthusiasm, but the Seinfeld days and the finale of Seinfeld. And it was clever. It was definitely, it made it seem like the entire Curb Your Enthusiasm series led up to one fuck you to people for not liking the Seinfeld one.
Yes.
Didn't it seem like it was like, oh, that's what this maybe was about?
I just
a middle finger to like
really,
the critics.
I just think that like Larry David will go down in history.
76 or 77, and he's still just killing it.
I think he'll go down as like one of the greatest human beings ever at like being able to make fun of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's like one of the best traits a person can have, that they can dish it and they can take it.
Right.
And they can make fun of themselves. I think like people who can be like self-loathing in like a funny way is just like such an attractive trait in people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why the show will always work, is because he's so willing to be the butt of his own jokes.
Oh yeah.
And I thought the callbacks and the focus on the main characters of the show, who you know are his good friends.
Right.
Really, like, in a show that probably didn't have a lot of heartwarming moments, felt heartwarming to me.
At times.
And I thought that, like, Larry was really enjoying himself filming this.
Yeah.
And you could just tell because there were so many scenes where he was laughing and you knew he was just really laughing in real
life.
Just
having a good time.
And
yeah.
Like they just kept that take in where like Jerry Seinfeld said something about the bearded lady and like then he was just cracking up.
There was those and you don't hear his real laugh very often on the show and it's kind of odd. He's like, and he's like moving his jaw a lot. Yeah.
But like I think like just a couple of those moments where you could just see
the Jerry Seinfeld in there. We got I mean it was pretty star-studded in the end.
Yeah. And the callbacks in the episode in the end with all the people from all the seasons was really fun too.
It was good. Yeah, especially, you know, if you've recently watched them. And Eric, what didn't you tell me?
Yeah, or? I've been crushing rewatch of Curb. I'm through almost three seasons.
Damn.
It's such an easy like fast watch where you can just like throw it on and like be on your computer or something
right
and you can just cruise through it. So
that's crazy though. And when does it get properly good?
I think a lot of the stuff that you see in season 12 starts to show up in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we're not even to like the Hurricane Katrina, you know, stuff where they bring in the family and
right
you know Leon comes in, like none of that's even happened yet.
You don't have Leon or anything yet.
No, but like it just is a lot of the reoccurring.
I love that Leon just worked so well that he's like, no, I'll just write your character to live here.
You just know that Leon, and I guess what's his name, JB, like is just so funny to him.
Yeah, I know, right?
That like he was just like, you just have to just live with me in the show.
And it feels like Larry David writes 95% of the show.
Yeah.
And JB Smoove writes his own lines.
Yes.
Doesn't it feel like they're so fucking funny.
It's just like everything that
all the stuff that I laugh the most at are JB Smoove lines.
I just think that like he's so good at like knowing what Larry thinks is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then just making Larry crack up in these episodes where like he just brings up something so outrageous. Yeah. Says something so inappropriate, and Larry just always thinks it's hilarious.
You're right.
I'm glad you liked it. I think anyone who watched it probably feels the same way. Yeah. You finished Shogun.
Okay, I did. And this is a serious show. It's, you know, that talk about a historical fiction, right? That's what this is. FX did just a wonderful job with this. I got to like it more and more. I don't think that the pace picked up as much as I thought it would towards the end. I'll say that. But there's definitely some really impressive, you know, choreography scenes, action scenes, you know, big moments happening. I liked it. I can understand if you watch it and you're like, look, it's just too boring. I can't do it. It is so many subtitles and I can watch a movie with subtitles, but now I'm watching 10 hours with like almost all Japanese, you know, English subtitles for Japanese language. It's a big watch, but I think it's worth it. I think it's really good. You know, and in the end, all the Japanese actors were so fucking good.
Yeah.
They made the one English guy seem bad and
kind of
weird.
Like out of place.
Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be out of place. But, you know, like from the little things of how they had all the Japanese people trained to walk really smooth.
Yeah.
Right. So they're, you know, like the geishas are almost like floating. They're so good at it. Right. Yep. And then they have him to make sure that you can tell the difference. He's like a lumbering fucking idiot. I'm like, are you drunk half the time? Like, how are you walking like that?
Yeah.
You know, some of his stuff was just too heavy-handed. But, dude, it's a good show. It's a wreck. It's just something that if you're, like, 25, you're not going to have the patience for this show, I promise.
Okay. Lastly, I finished up Unlocked, the prison experiment. I talked a lot about it last week. I really liked this show.
Did you talk about it on the pod, though?
I
think you just told me about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if I didn't, I'm just going to go briefly into it. Unlocked, I really liked this show. It was a reality show about prison in Little Rock, Arkansas, or just outside of Little Rock, Arkansas. And these were some of the most serious criminals from Arkansas. Many of them had been charged with assaults, armed robberies, murders, and capital murder.
Okay.
And so those are people facing death row.
Oh, right, right.
This show was I don't know. I think like when you look at shows about prison, they're usually about how awful criminals are and how like
heroic, scary it is,
and how heroic the police are and how horrible the criminals are, and
right.
how the system is has to be the way it is because the criminals are always going to be criminals and they're always going to do bad things.
Yeah,
and I just think that that's kind of a really negative look at a system that isn't really like. Any other country, you know, other countries in the world don't have the number of incarcerated people that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they also don't have the number of incarcerated people of certain racial, ethnic, and
socioeconomic backgrounds. Yeah, it's like,
you know,
the system is kind of clockwork in that way.
It is. And they also don't have most of their prisons as like for profit. You know, centers to like make, you know, billionaires and millionaires richer. So
they I think make that, 25 cents an hour, you know, to
so in
make
this,
license plates.
The idea of it is that this sheriff has decided that he wants to give humanity back to some of these people and then see if giving them some of that and some responsibility will change their behavior and then hopefully get people out of the system better.
So
and,
it's like, the opposite of the Stanford prison experiment.
Yeah.
But it's also a prison experiment.
It is, yeah. And
but
so,
they're giving them more freedom.
Yeah, so he takes the police out of the block and he opens up the doors. These were people who were in 23-1, which meant 23 hours in their cell, 1 hour out a day.
Oh, my
God. He opens the doors and then says pretty much there aren't going to be police. You've got to come up with some ways to police yourself and have rules and organization so everyone can eat and people can live safely and things like that. And they mess up sometimes and there's some fights, there's some hard to watch violent moments, there's mm-hmm. some bad behavior, there's a lot of hooch making.
Oh hell yeah. That I don't
they're bashing in there, they're
yeah,
making
that I don't
they're making
anybody.
Drugs out of things. They're teaching you how they get drugs in prison. It's pretty interesting.
That sounds cool.
But at the same time, like you see some of these people really blossom into different people. And the only thing I'll spoil is that he gives a lot of different privileges to these prisoners that they don't have. And one of them is that they aren't ever allowed to use the phones unless their families deposit money for them. But some mm-hmm. of these people's families don't deposit money.
Yeah.
So they never get to talk to anyone that they know. And they're so locked away and shut off from their families and their lives that they will never get out of the system.
Yeah.
So they provide free phone calls for these people so long as they like meet basic, you know,
yeah.
rules and stuff
no
like that.
No stabbings and you can talk to your family.
Yeah. And it is such a motivator for these guys that people are like, I need to change my life. Where people start like building relationships with like their children that they've never had a relationship with.
Oh,
and
man,
it's like a reason to like get out of the system and stuff.
So it's called Unlocked.
Yeah.
And it's on
Netflix.
Really
cool.
I think I'll watch this one. I think my wife would like it. Do you think like the violence
yes.
is too scary or ultimately it's positive so she could get through that?
This is what I would say. The violence happens behind closed doors off camera.
Yeah.
The people are smart enough to not fight like out in the open.
Yeah.
So there's a couple scenes where you're like, this isn't going to turn out good.
Yeah.
And they like take someone into the room and like three guys will beat them up.
Okay.
And it's a little uncomfortable. That's
yeah.
what I'll warn you of. But I would say overall, this was a pretty positive show.
Did they start shanking people for not picking up after themselves? You
no.
know, like
no, and then
turn
like,
it into capital punishment.
As they
wouldn't it be funny if they start to police themselves so
yeah.
much that a lot of them end up at 23-1?
Yeah. And so I would say overall, this was a good show. I thought it was like a positive show about humanity overall. And so I think it was a rec for sure.
All right. I like it. That's a good rec, man. No, you did not talk about that last week. So I'm excited about it.
All right. We're going to mix it up a little bit this week.
Okay.
So we've been talking a lot about shows and movies and I want to keep doing Crazy Horse and Mount Rushmore's, right?
Okay.
Rushmore and Crazy Horse. But I'm going to totally mix this up to a totally different type of subject.
Okay.
This week for
I'm
us.
I'm into it.
Okay, so before we're out of here today, we have to come up with the Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse of appetizers.
Ooh, I love this. I could talk about this. I'm getting hungry right now.
So I'm gonna. I found a little list for us. Okay.
Sure.
And
I think I am the list, my friend. I think I got it locked up
okay,
top.
So here's a couple that need to be up for consideration: fried pickles.
Okay.
Shrimp cocktail. Oysters.
Yeah. Jesus.
Crab cakes.
What the fuck? Did a New Englander write this shit?
Potato skins.
Okay.
Crab rangoon.
Oh my God. These are horrible.
Sliders.
Okay, now we're talking.
Onion rings.
Oh, now we're talking.
Chicken fingers.
Yeah.
Jalapeno poppers. I know where you're going with this one. Nachos.
Yeah, dude. I was like, wait. It's like, okay, well, I know where one of them is. I know chips, my George Washington.
Chips and salsa.
Can we just pick either nachos or Jesus?
Pretzels.
Yeah.
Chips and queso.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boneless wings.
Oh, pretty good.
Calamari. Traditional wings and mozzarella sticks.
Okay. And plus anything else we can think
anything
of.
Anything else
this.
You can think of.
But
as
that's,
well.
That's a
but
good
that's just a good.
So let's just, can we just put nachos on the short list?
I mean, to me, I think that the two that I think are without a doubt on the list, in my opinion, are, I could be up for debate either way with wings, boneless or traditional.
Let's just go traditional.
Okay.
I think that, you know, and we both love the boneless wings. We love the adult chicken nuggets. We do. But I don't think we're going to say that they're overall better. Like when a place has good bone-in wings.
Yeah, bone-in wings.
Okay, so I would say bone-in wings
and
should be in the consideration. Nachos should be shortlisted.
I don't think they should be on the shortlist. I think they should be on.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm very much okay with it.
Anything else?
Because now we still have two plus Crazy Horse.
Yeah, we still have plenty. And I just think those are like the tip top. Like those are like could be a meal. They're on their own.
I know.
Strong. Or they could be like if someone ordered them for the table, you'd be like.
So you didn't mention, and I don't even want this, but I'm surprised you didn't mention cheese curds. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's more local and you had a Boston list.
Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck
was
that was. We don't have half those fishes. We don't even know what those fishes are. You think calamari is going to end up on our list?
And you realize most calamari is like supposed to be like...
It's pig butthole.
Yeah, pig butthole.
Which is actually how I ask. I say, is it the pig butthole? Because that's what I prefer.
You ask that?
Yeah, I want to make sure it is.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so like mozzarella sticks, does that do anything for you?
No.
Okay, no.
Do they do that for anyone? They're like pretty average.
Yeah.
I think we need a dip of some sorts.
Yeah.
Like some kind of like dip for the table.
I really like
an artichoke dip or like some kind of thing like that. Like,
dude,
people like
artichoke
that
dip either with like some nice light tortilla chip or
like a
crusty
yeah,
bread.
Yeah, crusty bread.
So I'm so down to put that in there. Yes,
okay.
Let's go.
Another one you could think about is deviled eggs.
I do you could think about it. How about meatballs?
Meatballs. Mm.
God,
I think
I
like
love a meatball.
You do. You love a meatball.
Love a meatball.
Okay, but here's my thing: is a meatball an like when we're thinking appetizers here? Are we talking about appetizers at a party you go to at someone's house? Or are we talking appetizers at a restaurant?
Yeah, because you don't often get. At like good Italian restaurants, they'll have meatballs as an app, and it'll be like four giant ones.
Really?
And you get the bread.
Like you would order that?
Oh fuck yeah!
You would.
I have.
Okay. Okay.
So you're saying you wouldn't. That's fine. That's fine.
I'm just saying.
We only have two spots left. I mean, and I already know what I'm going to propose for Crazy Horse. So we really just need to narrow down what this last one essentially could be.
Yeah. Trying to think of a couple others. This list has lots of things.
I mean, the slider we kind of went past.
Yeah.
I don't often order those, but like. They bang.
Okay, how about this? Bacon-wrapped anything. Like something bacon-wrapped.
It depends. Like, people think they can put bacon on anything and make it taste good. Not true. Like, keep your bacon-wrapped water chestnuts. How about those
dude,
people?
I just want you, okay, so this...
Or is it watercress? Or is that the same thing?
Water chestnuts.
Okay.
Okay, this is a hilarious list. This is Food & Wine Magazine's list, okay?
Okay.
And I just want you to realize that they pretty much just have like three appetizers that they just say in a bunch of different ways. They have deviled eggs with pickled shrimp.
Okay.
Okay. They have a caramelized five onion dip. They have a cast iron cornmeal cake. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Bacon wrapped cherry peppers.
All right.
They have baked chicken wings. They have pigs in a blanket.
Not bad.
They have
deviled egg
spread.
Okay.
That's the second deviled egg thing. They have mini brioche lobster rolls, mini mac and cheese. Pimento cheese and bacon, brioche crab melts. Think that's another crab.
Jesus Christ!
Fried pickles.
Pickles could get a consideration.
Now these are buffalo baked chicken wings. We already had baked
chicken
wings.
They're just trying to get you to read long recipes.
And then deviled eggs with country ham.
Well, I'm definitely not going to pick that one, even out of the deviled egg ones. Ham and eggs, Jesus.
Okay, so We have bone-in wings, which is automatic. We have nachos. We have artichoke dip with crusty bread.
Love that.
Okay,
I love that.
Here's my other thing. Chips and queso, I think, should be up for it.
But we have nachos, and that's so
fuck
close.
With that for the table.
It's so close.
What about
a
fries? Like some kind of fries?
Fries like a truffled fry or something like that for the table is elite.
Yeah,
people, is elite, and we want the basics. We want the goat here.
A shared fry is pretty fucking good for.
It's not like we're trying to find a new recipe of crab cake with deviled egg on it to go in the last spot. So I'm good with fries, but can I propose my crazy horse then? Yeah. And it's the bloomin' onion.
Oh, I would be pumped if someone got the bloomin' onion.
That's got to be the craziest of all crazy horse. Do you think that could fit? Are you okay with that?
Okay, I'm fine.
Because you love onions so much.
Yeah, onions are like my favorite food. I'm cool with the bloomin' onion more than I am with the fries.
Okay.
Because I just because
you think fries are like a side.
Yeah,
you know?
And I also know that people are going to give a shit if we pick fries.
I don't want the shit.
I don't either.
I don't want the smoke on this.
I feel like the lists get a little controversial with people, and they're going to be like we couldn't have picked bone. Like, I would rather have boneless wings. But I'm not going to say that on the podcast.
I guess I don't want to say it. So
I don't want to say it out loud.
Can't
so
say it,
bone and wings are
so,
always
we're
better.
Winking. Because, we're winking at each other
because,
like, eh, we know.
Because bone and wings, if you ever ask like a person who's very overly into bone and wings, they're like, the wing bone heats up when it's cooking and actually cooks it from the inside. So it's actually better. And I'm
like, my God. That's actually gross.
I'm like,
don't even tell
me
that weird shit.
Cool, that's great. I'm going to stick with the boneless.
Does nothing for me.
Give me more chicken nuggets.
I like a popcorn shrimp.
I can't eat shrimp, so I'd prefer we didn't put that on.
Yeah. You can't have any of the crustaceans, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with skipping those anyways.
One thing I would really like to consider is the scotch egg. You ever have one of those?
Jesus. I love a scotch egg.
I think a scotch egg might be...
It's a sleeper pick,
it's
too.
It's a sleeper pick. It's got your sausage. It's deep fried. It's got the egg. It's got the spicy... like.
It might be
sauce.
The FDR, but it's definitely a good one.
I like a scotch egg. Is there any Asian sides, like pot stickers?
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about all these. I mean, fucking egg rolls, right?
Egg rolls, yeah.
I had egg rolls today.
I like egg rolls quite a bit.
I mean, I'm okay with God, scotch eggs are so elite,
like,
and
what
I
would
just
you rather
rarely
have?
Get them.
Scotch
and
eggs
you clearly
an egg
wanted to put eggs somewhere. Where on this list.
I don't even really like eggs.
So then, fuck that. Let's go with the egg roll. God, I love it. Okay. You get the pork and the cabbage and all the. Oh, that shit's so good.
Okay.
And then you're good with the bloomin' onion.
I'm cool with the bloomin' onion.
All right, this is a really elite and tasty.
All right, so here we go. This week's Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse. We have picked for Mount Rushmore of appetizers. Bone-in wings, because you can't... They're way better.
We know what we're talking about here.
Nachos. Those two are just automatic.
We're set.
Artichoke dip with crusty bread.
Hell yeah.
By the way, it's way better with crusty bread than it is with tortilla chips.
Out of the bag, shitty tortilla chips.
Yeah,
yes.
That's not nearly as good. Egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And then Crazy Horse is the Bloomin' Onion. With like that, you know, like spicy Southwestern sauce in there, you know?
Yes. Outback. We're thinking Outback here.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Well, guys, that is all the time that we have on this episode. Go back, check out our sportscast. We rave about the Timberwolves and talk about how bright their future is in this 2024 NBA playoffs. Otherwise, until next week, thank you guys for hanging out with your best friends here at the Nordeast Podcast.